You're about to listen to a sermon from New City Church of LA. If you'd like more information about New City Church or to download more free audio or video sermons, please visit us on the web at www.newcitychurchla.com. And now from downtown LA, here's this week's sermon.
We have a treat in terms of a speaker. As you know, Tracy Stringer has joined us on staff as new pastor of Spiritual. Can you share the word with us today? And you know, I'm very happy. It's good. So, Tracy.
Amen!
God, I pray right now that you would open up our hearts, our ears, our minds, and hear what your Spirit is saying to us, your people. God, I pray that the meditation of my heart and the words would be pleasing to you for this people, for this community today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're joining us today, we're in the midst of Lent. And Lent is kind of a bittersweet time because it asks us to stop and reflect on the life and suffering of Jesus. Over the past few weeks, we've been in a Lenten series that Kevin just said called The Desert Times, looking at the temptations of Jesus as it unfolds in Luke 4:1-13. Cindy B. helped us to understand the purpose of the wilderness and how while it represents barrenness, it also reminds us and calls us to be with God by detaching and discerning. Pastor Kevin went through each of the different temptations to remind us and show us how it encouraged us to move from comfort to prayer, from choosing the power of a sword to choosing the power of the cross, from testing God and trying to manipulate God's will to walking in service of God. So, what were they saying? Jesus was in the wilderness. He was tempted. He was tested. He didn't give in to the devil's temptation. That's a wrap. But beloved, I do believe there is still more for us to uncover as we close this Lenten series. The desert is a place for us to help us to see both the physical and spiritual needs that we have. It helps us to understand what is in our heart. The desert reveals the places that need to be restored, the places in our hearts that need to be reframed and reshaped. Whether it's a physical or metaphorical desert, it can be difficult. Either way, I believe this passage reminds us that in the desert place, God is forming us. Amen. And as we are led by the Holy Spirit, God begins to solidify what we believe about ourselves and God. God does this in order for us to be able to face what's on the other side of the desert. Let's read our passage. Beginning in Luke 3:21, it says, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my son, whom I love, with you I am well pleased. Verse 4. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. The devil led him up to the high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. If you worship me, all be yours. Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from him, from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogue, and everyone praised him. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, the heavens were opened up, and the Holy Spirit descended on him, like in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my Son, whom I love, and with you I am well pleased. It is at this point that we see Jesus being baptized, like the crowd, like the people, like the tax collectors and the soldiers. And as Jesus was praying at the River Jordan, the heavens opened up. The Holy Spirit descends on Jesus. A voice comes from heaven. This is my Son, whom I love, my beloved, whom I am well pleased. Jesus is about 30 years old, and then we're reminded, in case we had any doubt whatsoever, that this is not simply the son of Mary and Joseph, but this is in fact the son of Adam, the son of God, who has come for the redemption of all humanity. Here before the crowd, the people, the tax collectors, the soldiers, in this public space, God affirms Jesus' identity as his beloved son. Leading up to this passage, we see the Holy Spirit in the backdrop setting the stage for this moment we just read about. This is the son we've been hearing about, who was coming in the last three chapters of Luke. This is the Son of God who both Zechariah and Elizabeth knew was coming and knew and understood that their family would have a role in making a path for him. This is the Son who Mary conceived through the Holy Spirit, the Son of God who Joseph watched over and protected. This is the Son of God who the shepherds flocked to. The Son of God who Simeon and Anna led by the Holy Spirit to meet in the temple. This is the Son of God who John the Baptist was preparing a way for. The Son of God who would fill every valley, make every mountain and hill go. This is the Son of God who would make the crooked road straight and the rough ways smooth. This is the Son of God which all the people would see God's salvation. Amen. The moment we have all been waiting for is finally here. Jesus, the Son of God, has arrived as it had been prophesied. And you would think what was about to happen was that Jesus, who's been in the backdrop for the last 30 years, would leave the wilderness, go with the crowd, and go into the place and begin his reign as the Son of God. But verse 1 says, but Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. I don't know about you, but it's not exactly what I was expecting to happen. God totally flips the script here. Instead of moving Jesus into this public ministry, he takes Jesus into a place of wilderness. And it's the crescendo moment that happens here in the desert, not when the dove ascends. It's here in the desert, away from the crowds, away from the eyes, away from those who've witnessed his anointing, that Jesus is alone and formed for his ministry. That will take place on the other side of the desert. This is the actual crescendo moment without the fanfare. But it is here where Jesus will encounter his opposition of the devil through testing of what he believes about God and about himself. Most of us don't want to talk about a desert or a wilderness because it's rough. When Pastor Kevin was telling me what we were doing about a desert series, I was like, I don't think so, because I'm just coming out of the desert. We know that in the wilderness, God encounters his people. We see how God meets Hagar, who's been used, displaced, homeless, without a place to go. A single mother in utter despair. It's in the wilderness that God sees her. He comforts her. He meets her physical and spiritual needs and pulls both her and her son into his promise. It's in the wilderness that Jacob returns home after decades on the run, after having stolen his brother's birthright, wrestles with God, and has his entire name changed from the hill grabber Jacob to Israel because he struggled with God and man and overcame. And after trying to be a liberator in Egypt and failing completely, it's in the wilderness where Moses becomes a shepherd and encounters God in a burning bush while tending a flock. It's in the wilderness that God calls him back to Egypt to be a liberator and the voice of God as he's to lead the people on a journey through the desert. Before Jesus can step into the public ministry and do the work that God has called him to, he must spend time in the desert. He needs to do this to be formed. Because it's in that place of isolation and testing that will prepare him for the hostile forces that await him on the other side of the desert place. In the same way, the Holy Spirit leads us into desert places so that we can be formed and know what we believe about God, what we believe about ourselves, to prepare us for what's on the other side of our desert experience.
Yes, ma'am.
That's right.
In the wilderness, Jesus is tempted by the devil. He's in opposition to God. He's tempting him by telling him, turn the stone into bread. Leave from the seat of power that the devil is giving him. Test God. But intertwined in each and every one of these temptations is the testing of his identity as Jesus, as the Son of God as well. And what can he actually believe about God? For 40 days, Jesus was alone in the wilderness, in this place, without human contact, company or companionship, or food to eat. We must not forget or skip over the fact that Jesus was human too. He did not have the ability to simply switch on his divine cap and just ease through this temptation. This temptation tempted Jesus fully. And with this first temptation, I just think the devil was wrong. Some translations say that he wasn't just hungry, but he was famished. I fasted for like maybe 14, 21 days with no food, but I at least drank juice. And I know there's a point when you're fasting that you get to a place where, okay, it's not about the food, but at the same time, our bodies actually need food. So to understand Jesus' response, we must first remember that while he is void of human interaction, he is with the Holy Spirit. It is in this place that I imagine it is the Holy Spirit at work who is bringing responses to a very hungry Jesus. And I don't know if Jesus was like an angry, hungry person, but sometimes hunger can bring out the worst in us. I've seen those Snickers commercials. Because when we are going through, and even when we're not going through, we are people with a short memory. So it's in the midst of this situation that the Holy Spirit reminds Jesus and us about the truth that we may know. And it's not in this loud voice from the sky, but I believe the Holy Spirit helps Jesus. Because he was a famished Jesus that was able to recall that man does not live on bread alone. Mm-hmm. With this quote, Jesus in many ways is acknowledging that he knows, just like we know, he is hungry. And he has a real need to eat. We need to eat in order to live, but it is not by bread alone that we need to live. Deuteronomy 8:3 reminds us, we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Here we see that we need both food to live for our physical lives, but there is also a need for every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord that sustains our spiritual lives. In addition to these specific temptations, the devil is also questioning the very identity of Jesus as the Son of God with a simple word, if. A simple phrase, if then. If you are the Son of God, then. If you are the Son of God, then please tell me why you are choosing to be hungry. If you are the Son of God, just jump. He'll catch you. After 40 days of fasting, the devil engages a hungry Jesus into a battle about his identity and questions God's delay in giving him power as he tries to coerce Jesus into taking matters into his own hands. The devil is questioning what it means to be the Son of God. These were oppositions that Jesus would encounter on the other side of the desert throughout his ministry. The desert was his place of preparation. In the same way that Jesus was tested, the Israelites were tested for 40 years engaged in a similar battle. Deuteronomy 8:2 says, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what is in your heart, whether or not you would keep his command. In this passage, we are also reminded that for 40 years, the point of the Israelites' testing was to humble them, testing them to know what was in their hearts. In this humbling and testing, it's not that God needs to know what's in our hearts. We need to know what's in our hearts. And I'll be the first to admit that I have been guilty of calling the Israelites stubborn for making a 40-day trip turn into a 40-year journey. And yeah, maybe there was a little bit of stubbornness there. But the journey was about forming them as a people. And we must not forget, beloved, that for 400 years, they did not know God for themselves. For 400 years, it was like they were calling out to a God who was silent. The desert, the wilderness, is the first time for this generation, this people, to experience and encounter God, the God they heard about, the God of Isaac, Jacob, Rachel, Leah. This is the first time they encounter this God. That's right. They have been held in captivity for 400 years in slavery. And let's be honest, trauma messes with you.
Talk about it.
There are effects to people who've been under the rule of an empire. There are effects of what happens when you are held in captivity by an oppressor. To be raised in captivity and now to be suddenly free? What you gonna do? Even in a 40-day journey, God said, I can't take them the most direct route. I have to take them on the roundabout way because when they encounter opposition, they'll get afraid to turn around. So the Spirit of God led them by day and night in the most roundabout way in order to give them the time and space to be formed as the people of God.
That's right.
They required a healing, a renewal, a realignment of all things. Because they would have to let go of what they had believed about an oppressor who kept them enslaved but yet fed them. They would have to let go of what they had been told about themselves as slaves, that they were only good for labor or farming, for building up the foundation of Egypt, for being the backbone of the society with no rights and no rules and no liberty. They would have to let go of a slave mentality that caused them to live in perpetual fear under oppression in order to live in offered. God liberated their bodies, but their minds and their spirits needed to be liberated as well.
Right.
And beloved, that takes time. This is why this whole scene is not just about temptation. This is a spiritual warfare taking place. It is under fire and under pressure that what is on the inside of us begins to come out in a way that we can be formed in the desert place. God begins to reveal what is in our hearts. And sometimes it's about what we believe about God, and others it's about what we believe about ourselves. It takes time to renew our minds, to move towards the things that are true about who God says that we are. I wonder, what are some of the ifs you've been believing? What are the if-then statements that the devil has been speaking to you about you?
Yes.
What are the things that he's been speaking about God to you? I wonder, what are the patterns of sin in our lives and in our world that have us thinking and believing what is not true about our God?
Yes.
Like I said, I've had my own seasons of wilderness, and in my most recent wilderness phase, I've discovered that what was in my heart was how deeply unknown, unseen, and unloved I felt. Yes, I was isolated from my friends, from my family, from my community. I felt like my best would never, ever be good enough. I was overwhelmed with the reality of what it means to continue to raise healthy, young, black kids in non-black spaces where their identity was constantly being affronted. Daily, I was surrounded by people that made me have to continue to shift and hide myself. Putting on a mask of strength and confidence that I wore so confidently and often that I didn't even know I had it on. My marriage seemed to be devoid of love, hope, joy, peace, but was filled with busyness, arguments, broken trust, and uncertainty of why are we even married? God felt far off, away from me. And the voice that I had become so accustomed to hearing began to sound like a lull until it was almost inexistent. There was a pain that I hadn't allowed myself to feel that I was holding in from having watched my mother's organs begin to shut down one by one because she's better now, so can you feel that pain? I've had my own seasons where I felt my position coming from me from every single direction with these if-then statements. If you work, why aren't your needs met? And for me, as a black woman in America, I feel like my identity, my humanity, my womanhood, my very existence is daily assaulted by a world and society that does not value the dignity of who I am. Living in this world does not often affirm that I am in fact created in the image of the Most High God. And that's difficult.
Yes, ma'am.
I have not always believed that being a woman or girl was a good thing for me. For a long time, as I sat and I watched the benefits assigned to my male counterparts as they walked with ease in the world where I apologized for taking up space. I hid my true self from myself. And the root of it all was this fear, this brokenness, this scared woman who felt unloved, unworthy of love, joy, peace. And beloved, I wish I could stand here today and say that in just one instant, God came and just changed it all around. But it doesn't work that way. It's in that space of isolation and not actually hearing from God that I was able to hear from God. Not a new word, not a revelation that opened up from the sky, not some great insight, but I heard and saw what I had seen and known about God. And so it was the truth that I have to constantly hold on to each and every day. To know that as I go through my many wilderness experiences, that what I believe about God and myself, when it's being assaulted, for me to hold on to that truth that I know that I am seen, that I am known, and that I am loved by God.
Yeah.
Beloved, sometimes we're looking for God to speak in this miraculous way. And sometimes we've got to quiet our souls in order to be able to hear what God has already said to us. Because daily the world will come against the very things you know and know are true. And so you must hold on to that truth about who God says you are, about who God is. Because daily, I promise you, it will be assaulted.
Yes, ma'am.
And so you must, in the same way that Jesus was able to hold on and to say and know and believe that, yes, he was the Son of God, you must be able to hold on and know that, yes, you are the son, the daughter of the Most High.
Hey!
Because on the other side of the desert, there's actually ministry and work. Verse 13 said, when the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread the whole countryside. He was teaching in the synagogues, and everyone praised him. They praised him for a moment. We know that. But we also know that that praise won't last. And we know that the devil departed because he will return at a more opportune time. Beloved, we will forever be going in and out of desert places. Some short spans, some years, some longer than any of us care to admit or want to be a part of. But Jesus shows us through his spirit, his experience, that this space, this place, the Holy Spirit is with us,
yes,
leading us and helping us if we attune our ears to listen what the Holy Spirit is bringing up to our minds. We must remember that this testing of what's in our hearts is bringing to the surface all of this mess, not to shame you, not to embarrass you, but so that the redemptive work of God can take its place.
That's right.
He wants to bring about restoration in your life. And dare I say, in the communities and places and spaces we walk and live into. Your healing takes place in a desert space. And it's not simply for our sake. It's not for me to just be able to live in this confidence, knowing who I am and who God is. But rather, it's so we can actively anticipate the second coming we know will come. We are called to move and follow Jesus outside the desert, in the face of hostile forces, in the face of empire, in the face of people, in the face of the devil, in the face of all of these things that we know will come. And because we know this truth, we are able to stand. To stand in a world like this. This is an interesting set. And as I came in here this morning, I thought it was interesting that they put a house in the middle of a desert.
Yes.
And for some of you, you feel like you made your house in the desert.
Yes, ma'am.
But I need us to know that the desert is a season. And with every season, that means there's a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Come on.
So don't make it your home.
Yes, ma'am.
I appreciate what Jude shared with us today about St. Patrick and how he, after being enslaved, went back to that place to share the good news. Because it was in that place of captivity that he encountered God.
Mm-hmm.
God formed him in so much so that it shaped his entire life. For him to be able to reject the wealth of his parents, to be able to move into a place of faith, to share the gospel with people who had oppressed him. That's what happens in the desert space. So, beloved, as difficult and hard as it is, I want us to just think about the fact by the Holy Spirit to encounter what's on the other side. Let's pray. God, I thank you. I thank you for your example. I thank you for your life. I thank you for the way in which you continue to lead by example. God, I pray for us as we're all in different places and spaces in our lives. And for those who are feeling that you are far off. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be made known. That we would be a people that even in the midst of isolation, we continue to press in to your presence. Even when we can't feel you, and even when it doesn't feel the same way, and we don't get that same vibe we're accustomed to, God, may we seek your presence in the silence, in the unknown, in the unexpected. Yes. God, may we sit long enough for you to form us to be your people, for a world who needs to see your light. In Jesus' name.
Amen. That concludes this week's sermon from New City Church of LA. Remember, if you would like more, you can visit www.newcitychurchla.com to download both audio and video sermons at no cost. A sermon is posted every week. Thank you for listening.